Mr. Ng Chin Meng.
Mr. Speaker, may I seek your permission to answer question 1034, followed by Mr. Ng Chin Meng, and 960, followed by Mr. Alex Yam, in today's order paper?
Go ahead.
Mr. Speaker, my response will also cover the question raised by Mr. Lee Hong Chuang, which is scheduled for a subsequent sitting. And I invite Mr. Lee to seek clarifications today, if need be. If his question has been addressed, it may not be necessary to proceed with his question subsequently. Now, in 2025, there were 1,051 residential building fires. This is up from 968 in 2024. This is a slight increase amidst a stable trend of residential building fires over the past 5 years. The statistic should also be viewed in the context of Singapore's housing stock. The percentage of fires vis-a-vis our total dwelling stock has actually decreased from 0.067% in 2021 to 0.065% in 2025. However, recent tragic events remind us that we cannot afford to be complacent about fire safety. The Wong Fuk Court fire in Hong Kong last November is a grim example. The government has started reviewing the early observations from Hong Kong's ongoing investigation and is studying whether we need to strengthen the relevant regulations for works during the construction and maintenance of residential buildings. This will allow us to better manage fire risks, and the outcome of this ongoing review will be announced in due course. Allow me to share more about the multifaceted approach we take towards fire safety in Singapore, namely good fire safety design, enforcement against fire safety non-compliance, effective firefighting response, and public preparedness. All buildings in Singapore are built, designed and built in accordance with the prevailing fire code, which stipulates the fire safety requirements, such as the compartmentalisation of residential units to limit fire spread prior to SCDF's arrival. Other fire safety provisions include adequate staircases to support swift evacuation, fire engine access roads, and rising mains to support SCDF's firefighting operations. It is important for building owners to fully comply with the fire code and ensure that fire safety provisions are kept in good working order. In this regard, town councils and MCSTs are responsible for managing the common areas within HDB estates and the strata titled residential developments respectively, including ensuring compliance with SCDF's fire safety requirements. They work closely with SCDF to regulate and rectify obstructions in common areas that may be fire hazards. And if fire hazards are detected during SCDF's checks, SCDF will take enforcement action against the Town Council or MCST. The SCDF constantly reviews its firefighting tactics and equipment and the fire safety requirements for high-rise buildings. This includes exploring new technologies and studying international best practices. To effectively conduct firefighting and rescue operations in high-rise settings, the SCDF has capabilities such as aerial appliances that can reach up to 90 metres, as well as surveillance drones. Now, high-rise buildings are required to have additional fire safety provisions, such as more fire lifts, rising mains, to ensure that the SCDF can conduct operations on the upper floors effectively. In addition, high-rise residential buildings that exceed 40 storeys in height require at least one refuge floor per 20 storeys. The refuge floor is designed to provide evacuees with quick access to a safe holding space in the event of a fire. Last, SCDF conducts regular outreach through campaigns such as the Community Resilience Days to educate residents on fire prevention and fire safety, and provide free hands-on training on the use of fire extinguishers, cardiopulmonary resuscitation, and the use of AEDs. SCDF also collaborates with other government agencies and stakeholders to promote fire safety awareness, such as through the recent Better Awareness, Safety Homes, Programme, jointly launched with the People's Association and the National Fire and Emergency Preparedness Council, as well as the B Device Safe Programme with the Land Transport Authority. Now, fire safety is a collective responsibility, and we must work together, each doing our part, if we are to keep our homes safe from fires. Thank you.
Mr. Ng.
Mr. Speaker, I thank the MOS for his answer. Indeed, the lines of defence the MOS mentioned are indeed assuring, including the good work by our SCDF. However, in spite of all the different measures, there were three serious fires that resulted in death in Singapore last year. One particular case in Toa Payoh, where the fire spread from the 10th floor to the 11th floor, where then some residents above that were having some difficulties evacuating. Well, in the context that the MOS mentioned, where we are building higher, with higher density, including now where we have an ageing society, where there are more elderly with mobility challenges, fire prevention measures are good, but when it does happen, what may be the new measures that we can take preemptively to either educate, maybe even consider fire drills like in many other private buildings, could we be doing some of this in the public housing estates so that residents get more hands-on education besides head knowledge? Maybe the neighbours can come together to rally in case of such emergencies. I hope that in the review, the ministry can consider that. Thank you very much.
MOS Go.
Mr. Speaker, I thank the member for his question and comments. I fully agree with the member's emphasis on public preparedness and public education. These are important, and the SCDF works very, very closely with all the respective agencies, including with the constituency and the grassroots leaders nationwide, actually, to help raise public awareness. It's important for the public to know what they can do and what they need to do to play their part. And as I mentioned and earlier in my reply, actually, a prepared and ready public is actually our best line of defence against fires. Indeed, with regard to the cases that the member mentioned is regretful, and every fire, every death is one too many, and we deeply regret that. And I think that's the reason why all the more we do need to step up. And I think the SCDF spares no effort in making sure that not only is the SCDF best prepared to fight fires operationally, but in terms of working together with the public. Maybe let me amplify some of the community engagement efforts. Beyond what I mentioned earlier, Community Resilience Days, Be Device Safe campaigns, the Better Awareness, Safer Homes campaigns, we have various Responder Plus programs that the SCDF does across the nation, across the country, in the various constituencies, to work with and educate our residents in terms of how they can play their part in their homes, how to use fire extinguishers, for example, AEDs, for example, and these are part of not just initial education, but also refresher training to ensure that everyone can play their role. It's also about getting the overall awareness and sense of danger. It's that sense of awareness that is initially most important. So the better awareness is that initial education effort to get people aware. Statistics show that the first cause of, the main primary cause of fires is actually unattended cooking. So actually, it is about individual responsibility. And if you are able to get everyone aware that these can cause fires, I think that solves a big part of the problem. I will take the comments from the member seriously. And if there are any further suggestions, we'll be happy to work together with the constituency.
Mr. Lexium.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank the MOS for his answers earlier. Could the MOS share and reassure the public the current inspection and enforcement regimes during construction and renovation works is robust, assessed to be sufficiently robust, given that these times are periods where a confluence of hot works, temporary wiring and flammable materials significantly heighten risk, as we saw in the tragic example in Taipo. Building on the point that the Honourable Member Mr. Ng Chee Meng mentioned earlier as well. In terms of community efforts, my constituency, we organize regular block evacuation exercises so that residents are better prepared on evacuation routes and looking out for one another. What we saw from the Taipo examples from interviews with survivors, as well as some of the experiences of those who were trapped, is that many did not take the initial evacuation alert seriously enough, and that may have contributed to the increased number of fatalities. With a growing number of vulnerable and elderly residents, is there more that the Ministry can do to heighten evacuation awareness, especially with the higher density and taller residential developments that we have today?
MOSCO.
Mr. Speaker, I thank the member for his question. There are two parts to the question, so let me address the first one first, and this with regard to precautions for construction. Any construction and maintenance works done in Singapore must adhere to the safety requirements set out in the Fire Code and the Workplace Safety and Health Regulation. For example, any hoarding used during construction must be made of non-combustible materials, and all fire safety systems must remain functional. It is also a requirement to ensure proper supervision of hot works are separated from flammable materials. The use of bamboo as scaffolding is not allowed in Singapore. At the same time, SCDF also runs programs and is willing to work with employers in terms of how to best educate their workers to be fire safe. At the same time, the SCDF regularly reviews the fire code to ensure that fire safety measures for buildings, including those undergoing construction, maintenance, are robust and up to date with the best practices. With regard to the member's second question, actually, what I mentioned earlier in terms of the various programs are available. I think what is most important is beyond just having those programs in place, there is significant take-up that constituencies, residents, grassroots leaders take these programs seriously and participate fully. I'm glad to share with the House that SDF conducts about 16 Community Resilience Days every year, working closely with People's Association and with support of various government agencies. The Responder Plus program that I mentioned earlier is actually held both in person and online so as to ensure accessibility for all participants. And I'm glad to share that from January 2024 to August 2025, we've had more than 60,000 individuals participating in this Responders Plus program. Thank you.
Mr. Lee Hong Chun.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also want to thank MOS for your answer just now. Here I have three supplementary questions. I'm going to ask two in English and one in Mandarin. I also want to declare that I'm also staying at high floor. I'm also one of them. Especially, you know, this question will target those staying in HDB. One, what is the current average response time for SDF for such incidents, especially fire, on very high floor? And how does SCDF coordinate to reach this floor quickly, especially when the lift is break out during then? My second question will go, what are the practical operation limits faced by SCDF today when fighting fire at very high floor, such as water pressure constraint, access challenges, or evacuation difficulties? And will SCDF work with MINDEF on this, such as HeliSafe, Area Rescue, and any other measure? My third one will be in Mandarin, please, Mr. Speaker. 我们都知道在商业大厦, 政府跟有关机构通常都会有很多演习活动, 但是在政府组方面, 虽然我们也有很多这些措施教育, 但是我们很多时候不单是在民众联络所, 或者有时在公寓一楼的场地进行这些公众的教育, 但如果要做到疏散或者甚至撤离的话, 尤其是在高楼的居民们, 行动不便的年长者, 还有很多不同因素的一些居民, 我们如何来教育他们, 教导他们疏散? 有些这些项目呢，我本身也认为，也许我们不但教育这些年长者，我们也要教育所有的这些护护者，就是甚至居民们，当给他们实体的经验了解到，当一个火势像这样的情况发生的时候，他们如何呢应对，他们如何呢也帮助所有的这些居民撤离。 Thank you.
Ambassador.
Mr. Speaker, I thank the member for his questions. To his three-part questions, let me take them one by one. First, in terms of the response time for SCDF, the SCDF is able to respond to most fire and rescue incidents within 8 minutes. And this includes fire incidents in high-rise buildings. And upon arrival, resources, assets will be deployed to fight fires at the most earliest instance. In accordance with fire code, all high-rise structures above 24 metres, or about 8 storeys, are required to have fire lifts which can be switched to manual operations to facilitate the SCDF's firefighting operations. For prompt access to the higher floors, and additional fire lifts are actually required for high-rise residential buildings, 40 storeys and above. And as part of the SCDF's high-rise firefighting procedures, the SCDF works very closely with the building management team, which includes having on-site incident management teams and the manning of the fire lifts to support the SCDF officers' operations. In terms of the second question, practical operational limits faced by SCDF, indeed, I thank the member for raising this because firefighting operations in high-rise buildings can be dynamic, can be challenging for SCDF officers. But that said, the SCDF has incorporated specific fire safety requirements into the fire code precisely to overcome some of these challenges and to enable them to fight fires more expediently and more safely. This includes raiding water supply through the provision of the dry or wet rising mains, provision of the fire lifts I just mentioned to affected floors, the requirement of having fire-rated walls or doors to limit the spread to adjacent units. And these are to help slow down the fire prior to SCDF's arrival. And of course, in the event that these firefighting provisions are not in a serviceable condition, this is where SCDF will face some challenges in firefighting operations. And these challenges may slow the firefighters down, but there will be other additional manual firefighting processes that the firefighters will then have to adopt to fight the fire, but this can take a little bit more time and requires other additional steps. In terms of public education programs to better prepare our residents, and especially with regard to our aging population, I thank the member for raising this because indeed our aging population has brought about new challenges. We see an increasing number of households comprising seniors, especially some of them living independently. Our elderly may also have mobility challenges, and in times of emergency, they could be vulnerable. We have strengthened our levers to support elderly households in being better prepared for some of these fires. First, home fire alarm devices. We've encouraged for HFADs to be installed in the homes of our seniors. This is subsidised under the Enhancement for Active Seniors programme, and having this fire alarm devices will allow for our seniors to have earlier notice of fires and give them more time to evacuate safely. We have also worked very closely with the community to better support seniors in need. For example, I quote in Jalan Besar GRC, I understand there's a fire safety kakis initiative that's been launched, where a network of neighbours are actually involved to assist with the evacuation of the elderly and the vulnerable in the event of a fire in their home and block. And I think this is a very good example of how the community can work very closely with the SCDF to especially reach out to those in need. Thank you, Speaker.